The Community Foundation of the Ozarks celebrated its 43rd anniversary June 18th, and for this edition of Making a Difference, Stories of Hope and Help, the Foundation's first two paid employees are here to talk about their early days in the office. From its founding by the Greene County Estate Planning Council in 1973 to the fall of 1988, when Jan Horton was hired as executive director, and the spring of 89, Susie Gray, her administrative assistant, the Community Foundation of the Ozarks had no employees, no affiliates, and was operated by volunteer committees of men and women from the Estate Planning Council. By the time Jan Horton and Susie Gray were hired, the Community Foundation of the Ozarks had charitable holdings of $1.5 million and had awarded around $500,000 in grants and distributions. In June 2016, the 43rd anniversary of the CFO, the Foundation's charitable grants and distributions have topped $260 million. Jan Horton remembers the first official CFO office space well, as it was in her home.
Red typewriter.
It wasn't red, it was beige.
I think it just faded through the years.
Do you remember one of the things we used to do with that typewriter? We made those pink cards that were meeting notices.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
So whoever had a meeting that upcoming month, we would make a pink card and we would type every committee and every time and day so they would be able to get there. Now, of course, that's all done by email, that was such a production.
We are not the early days of the Community Foundation, Susie. There was 15 years of very hard work that went in to establishing it, getting it going, trying to publicize it. And fortunately, it was the Estate Planning Council that came up with the idea.
Keep those charitable dollars local.
Keep them local. And so that was the genesis. And these were people like Ann Drummond and Jim Payne, who was the mayor at the time, and Vince Tindall and others, who immediately grabbed the idea and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that group, for 15 years, the boards of directors worked hard to get it going.
Some of the people that were involved on the financial end were, of course, Dick Broadbeck, who was taking care of the books at the time that we were hired. And then, of course, Harold Ambler, who stepped in and made sure that we had a solid financial foundation in order to, you know, get started on the right foot.
They did fabulous groundwork and laid a great foundation.
They did.
Then enter us and the red IBM electric typewriter that I bought at a garage sale after I said yes, I would come to work for the Community Foundation.
Right. When I first started, I was only working 4 hours because mm-hmm. I was part-time. So we were 1.5 staff. I was the half.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you had records to keep, a lot
right.
of records.
And
that usually occupied most of your time.
Right. You started out with a computer. You had a Macintosh.
We got that grant, too.
Mm-hmm. That was given to you through an Apple program.
Right. They chose 50 community foundations to give the first Macintoshes to. And I traveled to California and took the training. And fortunately, it was very elementary in those days, and it stayed in my head. I was able to work it.
Right. My first computer was actually gifted to us by Harold Ambler.
Okay.
He had one, and I think that he just thought that maybe we would use it more, and so he gave it to us. And I remember, you know, working on that for a long, long time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember when we went to a new copy place that had just opened in Springfield? It was called Copy Products, and we won a copier at that open house.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was so great because we were actually using a copy machine that KOZK had given us. And if KOZK gave it to us, it was probably pretty well used.
Probably been given to them.
So that was a real windfall for us to be able to get that brand new copy machine. And just to give you an idea of where you were at when you stepped into that position, the foundation had charitable funds totaling $1.7 million, and now we have over $250 million. When you started, there were 30 funds,
mm-hmm.
30 charitable funds that had been established by individuals, and now we have 3,000.
Well, and also the process by which we revitalized. And I don't like to use that word because the 15 years that preceded our employment were hard-working years getting it going.
Yes.
And they had a really great program.
And I looked back in the minutes yesterday, and they called it their expansion program. That was their goal, to expand what the foundation was doing beyond what they could do as volunteers. We had, of course, when you started, no staff. Now we have 18. We had no office. Now we have offices in three cities.
Our own building.
Right, and we have our own building with our own boardroom, because when we first started, we would have to go find a boardroom to meet in.
Mostly banks.
Mostly banks. And also Mary Kay's building, Mary Kay Meeks. And I think we had some meetings over at John Courtney's, too. But that was interesting, always finding a boardroom. And we had none of our affiliates. And
that's right.
You were instrumental in getting the first one started in Nixa.
We could go on all day on the affiliates, because there are 49 of them now.
Right.
And Nixa was the very first one. Two things I really learned right off the bat about the Community Foundation. One was, an annual report is your best publication tool. An annual report puts you in the same field as a bank or an investment company or one of those stable and secure entities. The second thing I learned was, when you talk to donors, you want them to A, know you, B, love you, C, trust you.
And I think that's what you brought to the table, and that you really did make the foundation go. Up until the time that you started, they had awarded $500,000 in grants out to the community, and now we have awarded over $260 million in grants and distributions that have gone out for the benefit of folks here in southern Missouri. Dorothy Weaver walked in the office one day.
We had a fabulous fund that was to provide braces for young people who had malformed teeth. And actually, Dorothy had started it in memory of her husband when he died. He was an orthodontist. And the applicants had to say why they wanted braces. And the stories, we would sit and cry when we read those letters.
I remember that.
The stories we would hear from those kids. Well, one day, the fund establisher, Dorothy Weaver, walked into our office and plunked a diamond ring down on the conference table. And she said, "We need more money in this fund so we can give more braces to kids that need them. And I want to sell this ring and put it in the fund." And that, to me, is the height of dedication.
So sweet.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, though, is working with our donors, because you really see how much they care and how passionate they
right.
are about the things they want to do charitably. I have a little quote here from Marion Wright that I'd like to read. She understood the necessity of unrestricted funds and established a fund that was unrestricted so it could meet the most important needs in our community. But her quote is, "An endowment fund is like a spring filling a pond. It continues to fill over and over again and doesn't disappear." And I just think that's beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful. And so few words can get across such an important concept. We saw ourselves, after our early scramble to meet the challenge of raising the administrative endowment and meeting in the Charles Stewart Mott grant, we began to see that we had a role to play as in leadership in the community. So we convened a group of people to meet and talk about the unmet needs in the community. And I became more and more reliant upon you, Susie. You can do anything, really. The rock from the first day she came in the office. Someone I could lean on and trust. A friend more than a co-worker all these years. I couldn't have done it without her, absolutely, positively. And now she's still my friend.
And I value that so much. I just, when I first started, I didn't know as much about Springfield and the community, even though I'd been a resident there most of my life. And it probably took me 9 months before I really knew what Community Foundation was after I got there. That's what Gary Funk always used to say. But you opened up so many doors for me. I just really appreciate it.
And here I am. You're opening up doors for me now. So it's a true partnership.
Right. Goes both ways.
Love you, Susie.
I love you.
Jan Horton and Susie Gray, the Community Foundation of the Ozarks' first two paid employees. Jan Horton, who had also served the Community Foundation of the Ozarks as its first president, is now president emeritus of the foundation. Susie Gray is the CFO's CFO, the chief financial officer, keeping track of the foundation's $250 million in charitable funds, which, by the way, is $248.3 million more than when Jan and Susie first came to work for the Community Foundation of the Ozarks. For more information about the Community Foundation of the Ozarks, cfozarks.org. For KSMU and Making a Difference, Stories of Hope and Help, I'm Mike Smith.